Welcome to Hug Nation. This week I have a topic, a area of discussion that is a little different than previous weeks, months, and years. I want to talk about some tips to fight off the funk. And I don't mean funk as in odor, although I do have a few tips on that. The trick is bathing. No, I'm talking about like a depression. I call it a funk because the way I kind of look at it in my head is, at first a funk comes on and I start to get into an irritable place. And then if I don't do certain things, or if I attack it or I give it too much attention, then the funk becomes it gains momentum and it pulls me into a depression. And then it is a really down place. And for many years of my life, I had significant depression that lasted for a significant amount of time. And then I was medicated for about a decade. And that worked wonderful for me. I was on a medication called Cerazone that is in the Prozac family. It helped me for depression and anxiety. Low dosage for a long time. And finally got off of it about a year and a half ago. And I think it's the process of some of these tricks have helped me to question my thoughts, reprogram my brain, and find better ways to just be more in control of these thoughts and recognizing that sometimes these thoughts and ideas and feelings are things that we can, pull out of, look at, and then have a more proactive stance and a more active role in how these feelings really control me. Not to say that I don't still get funks, but they're much quicker now. And I see them, it's part of the cycle. It's not a permanent place of residence anymore. Or certainly doesn't feel that way. So I'm just gonna jump right in. The first thing that I wanted to mention about fighting off funk, and I didn't mean to use the word fight, because of course, you know, anything you address anything with aggression, that's, you know, but you know what, truth is, this is a battle. You gotta really kind of take a stance and be somewhat aggressive in your warrior stance in defending your happiness, defending your joy. And so, you know what, I'm gonna stick by my fight stance. Okay, in law of attraction terms, we're actually pursuing joy, but in the situation that we're talking about, there's a battle upon us. Funk, this dark cloud, is closing in, and you know, here's your fight or flight techniques. Number one, do you really want to be happy? That seems like a silly question, but it's not. Now that I'm aware that these thoughts are not something that just I have no control over, I'm also much more aware of when I choose to allow a funk to happen. The first thing you need to do is really ask yourself and be ready to change, because there's these trite sayings, you know, you wake up every day and decide to be happy. That's really true. And the same is true if you're feeling a funk coming on. You have to decide, I want to not be in a funk. I want to be happy right now. It's very easy to fall into patterns, to feel comfort, and kind of allow yourself to sink into the woe is me, focus on your faults, feel like nothing's working for you, blah, 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 blah. Go into focusing on the cone. I mean, excuse me, very easy to start focusing on the crap rather than the cone. There's nothing wrong with that though. Let me say that and be very clear. Sometimes a body wants to be in a funk. Sometimes a body wants to crawl under the covers and let themselves have a couple hours, maybe even a day or an afternoon of just, I feel sorry for me. That's totally cool. And that's why I say number one is, do you really want to feel happier right now? And be honest with yourself. Because if the answer is no, then just fine. Write it out in whatever way you want to. Number two, and this is borrowed from Byron Katie, and is a phrase that she uses, which is a process of pulling you into the present and recognizing how much of what is in your head is a story and how much is real. She says, the phrase is, what is real? Man sitting in chair. Man sitting in chair. That's one of those things, like crap or cone for me, man sitting in chair. If almost always when your head is starting into woe is me or things suck or nothing's working or I'm a loser, whatever that, there's all these stories. And in this moment, the only thing that is real is man sitting in chair. It's very easy to get sucked into a, like, oh my gosh, I left my house 5 minutes late. Now I'm going to show up. Now I'm going to hit traffic. It's going to make me even later. By the time I get to work, that this is going to happen. Oh, if I get up at work, then the boss, this is the third time this has happened. And he's going to be, and I'm already late on this thing with that work. If I turn that in, oh my gosh, then the lunch, but I thought it's going to be awkward at lunch. Everyone's going to be staring. Whoa. The only thing that's real is man sitting in driver's seat. It is amazing how often when you pull that phrase, when you snap back into this now, how much of what's causing anxiety and stress and that funk is a story that is not real. We have these big brains, these amazing brains, that what separates us from the animals is Walmart. No, opposable thumbs. Okay, well, all of these are true, but the one that I'm meaning is our ability to imagine, our ability to plan. Now, this is an amazing, amazing gift, but it is also an immense curse, because imagination, when going in the wrong direction, creates stress, creates worry, creates these stories and ideas of things that will never happen. There's a great line, I think it's in Julius Caesar by Shakespeare, and it says, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, but a hero dies but once. Now what that means is, if you are in that, if you use your imagination for fear-based thoughts, then you're always thinking about the bad things that could happen, every time, and you live, you experience these little deaths every time you worry about them. However, the hero stays present, lives, and then when it's time to die, when it's time to suffer, that he only experiences it in the now, just once. I love that. Okay, number three. There are no obstacles. When you get caught up in a story, when you get caught up in your to-do list, when you get caught up and attached to a path and an objective, when you get destination-based, how is that legal for motorcycles to be that loud? Okay, but I digress. I know, loud pipes say, yeah, wear blinking lights or have, sorry, I'm off track. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to practice tolerance and love towards my loud-piped two-wheeled brothers. No obstacles. Things, when you, this is something that I practice. The other day isn't a good example of this. I was going to the counter, or to my cupboard. I went in and to grab some extremely healthy food item, I'm sure. Not, you know, not a candy bar. I'm sure it wasn't that. But I noticed that there was goo all over the place. An almond milk container had leaked, and I don't know how long ago, but the almond milk was the consistency of, like, snot. And it was all over. It dripped all over my pantry, all over everywhere, all the way to the ground, and hit also, like, some of my pots and pans and all this other food. And the old me would have been like, because this is this massive undertaking of cleaning this up that is now in my way. I have to do this when I wanted. Now it's going to be an hour before I can blah, 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 blah. And it's so frustrating because I wanted to be here in my plan. And because of this thing, now the plan is pushed back. And now I have to do all this. And now I have an obstacle. But If you can snap back into this idea that there are no obstacles, there's only the task at hand, no matter what, there's only the task at hand. Think about that. No matter what, the only thing that you can do is what you're doing right now. Now, you can decide that what I want to do right now is plan for the future. I want to make a budget. I want to fill out my Google Calendar. I want to do those things. But then your task right now is planning. Then you do one task at a time, one task at a time, one task at a time. And from that perspective, then when something happens and you have to clean up mucus consistent old almond milk from all of the things that you used to think you wanted to eat, well, that's the task at hand. And there's really, just as Byron Katie says, you only have a couple choices in this situation. You can either accept reality or you can suffer. So in this situation, what would it do to be frustrated and upset? Would it have made the goo any less yucky? Would it have made my old plan any more rapidly happening? No. So I simply had to go, boom, okay. There is only the task at hand. My task at hand right now is clean this up. Take a breath, figure out what materials I need to do, and do the task at hand. Years ago, I watched someone make a salad. And this is something that I'm working on. I really want to, my food preparation is an area that I generally, you know, eat like slices of cheese right out of the package, right in front of the fridge. And so an area of practice for me is this with food preparation, but I was so impressed with the way that they made the salad. Each thing they did, you know, it was this almost like a meditative, beautiful, being present experience of creating the salad. And that awareness, there is only this task. There is no obstacles. There is only, it's not like these are the obstacles to getting food. No, these are the tasks. That shift can be huge in making a frustrating situation much more tolerable. In fact, you can get to a point where you see, like, how do monks and such practice? They simply focus on the task at hand, whether that is chanting, sitting, cleaning, manuscribing. Not sure what else they do. I'd say masturbate, but I don't think that's a big part of the monk repertoire. Now, you, however, as having not signed any contracts with a monastery, you may go, you know what, masturbation is actually a good example. Be present. Own it. There are no obstacles. This is not a journey to a climax. This is a present experience with the now. Man sitting in chair with pants off. Okay. Number four is reset your baseline. And this is one that people do. It's an easy one to kind of like lash against and not feel. You know, that cold, like, well, there are kids in Africa that are starving right now. And that's a hard thing to resonate with. For me, I think what works much better is to reset the baseline and become aware of how many things you're taking for granted. Maybe the Africa situation is good just so you can start feeling joyous gratitude for so many things above that. Don't go, "Oh, I suck because I'm complaining about, you know, my situation." Instead go, sometimes what I will think about, what if I was incarcerated? What if I was a prisoner somewhere? Maybe in a prisoner in a country that doesn't have the rights that we do and I'm being tortured. Well, maybe that's not a good example. Let's say I'm a Middle Eastern descent and I'm in being held for a terrorist. Okay, sorry, don't mean to get political. Let's say I'm incarcerated. We'll start there. Working back from that, how many things in my life are amazing? From I have a million channels on TV. I've got air conditioning if I need it. I've got heating. I've got digital toys of everything you can imagine. I've got books. I own a bookcase full of books. You know how much through, until Gutenberg, the idea of a regular person owning a book, and here I, you know, just one click them on Amazon and think somehow if I buy it, that'll make me smart. I forget that I have to read them too, but that's another topic. Running water, people that love me, flowers, boo, 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 boo. And suddenly, like, resetting the baseline, starting to see what's right versus what's wrong is massive. We're very trained with news and cultural things of putting our attention on the things that are going wrong. The things that are going wrong. How was your weekend? Ah, this didn't happen. This didn't happen. Practice focus on what's going right. When you're feeling in a funk, do a hard reboot and build yourself back out from nothing and go, wow, I have so much. If your body is sick, wow, my body has an immune system that's fighting this. That's amazing. I can still walk. If you can't walk, I can still see. If you can't see, I can still think and hear. And if you can't hear, well then this broadcast won't make much sense. But maybe we can transcribe it in the future. So those are the ones that I wanted to share. These are like little tricks that I use. And the big picture part of this, the big picture of all of these, is learning that your relationship with your thoughts and your feelings is an active one. When a funk starts to come on, the big switch is when you can start to realize that you're starting to feel differently. Things are starting to make you a little testier. People are getting on your nerves a little bit more. Some genders might notice this, monthly. Please don't kill me for saying that. But recognizing that you're in a place of vulnerability, fragility, can be huge in simply taking a step and go, these thoughts are the way that I'm interpreting them right now. Because of chemical imbalances, because of lack of sleep, because of whatever the situation is, my natural cycles. So now that I know that I'm in a weakened state, I'm not at my best, I'm testy, whatever. I use the word funk because I like to label it, see it as this thing, and then I can like kind of recognize it and maneuver. Before I had that awareness, when I was depressed, I continually made the mistake of feeling a certain way and thinking that's the way the world was. And so I would start to then reevaluate the world and start to judge things and start to look at myself and things that I've done. How's the book coming along? Huh? How's this? How'd you do this? Oh, you always do this. That's a trick. I mean, a good trick to know. If you ever hear yourself saying always and never, always never, always never, you're in a funk. Always never is funk talk. So when you start hearing yourself saying, I always do this, I never do this, I always do this, they always do this, they never do this, And then you need to find out what works for you. For me, these five tools are extremely helpful. And the other one is just being aware that we all have cycles. And that for me, simply distracting myself, going to rent a movie or watch a whole season of something, can be exactly what I need. Don't fight this head on. Let my body chemistry go through its cycle. Don't reevaluate the world. Don't make any grand decisions about travel or jobs or relationships. Just let it run through its course like an illness. Rest, distract, watch movies, drink bubble up, whatever, and just let the things fly through. Man sitting in chair. Reboot, reset the baseline. Do I really want to be happier? Yes? Well, then there's only the task at hand. And maybe that task at hand is getting some ice cream, sitting in bed, and just letting it go. No matter what happens, no matter how you're feeling, it's perfect. Time will be your friend. And know that those negative feelings is not you. It is a filter. It are thoughts that are going through you. what you're really you. When you start to identify and think that's you, pull back. Come to Hug Nation. Watch an archive. And remember that there's this thought stuff that's a shell. And then there's the thing beneath that that's you. And when you can get to that beneath part and separate that from these depressing, always, never thoughts, the negativity, then you're empowered. Speaking of which, let's have a Hug Nation hug and just really hammer home the fact that we are perfect on our inner selves, our perfect, pure selves. Sounds good? Let's do that. Wherever you are physically, let that go. Wherever you are in time, let that go. If you're watching the archive, that's every bit as connected to this vibrational experience. So grab yourselves by the shoulders. Let go of where you are physically. Think about where you are in spirit, which is connected to like-minded, like-spirited, like-vibrational beings all around the world who are becoming more and more in touch, more and more in alignment with connection, with the vibration of love and compassion, the natural rhythms and harmony of the entire cosmos. We are a microcosm of that as we breathe, as the infinite, well, not infinite, as the many, many, many systems and cells within us do their part, play their role, totally unaffected by whatever thoughts go through our heads, totally unaffected by if we were late for work. So let's remember that the ego self, that shell that gets us through the world, can be very convincing, can be very loud in our heads and making us think that that is what we are, that is what is important. And as it gets caught up in thoughts that are funky and a little bit depressing, it gets easy to think that that's the way the world is. But that's just our shell, which is flawed. It serves its purpose, but it is flawed. Beneath that shell, those layers of values and experiences that make our personalities, beneath that is this divine light. This perfect cell that doesn't need to know its purpose, simply needs to surrender and allow itself to vibrate with love, allow itself to be a part of the cosmic stream, allow itself to feel connected and shower love onto themselves, onto their own shells, onto the shells of all those we encounter, because it is that showering of love that dissolves the shell. So let's just visualize our shells dissolving and the light that is inside us just being brighter, 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 brighter until all we are beams of light rocketing into the sky. And as we rocket into the sky, we are joined by the billions of other lights, billions of other beings, shining, vibrating, feeling the flow of love, of connection, of harmony. Take a deep breath. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. May you shine your light. May you blast through the darkness. May your funks be short and filled with growth. And may you be a loving being in the world. Thank you for being you. Thank you for vibrating at the frequency you do. Thank you for being an ambassador in the world. The way you are is a gift. Thank you. Namaste.